Jesus, Michael, this is the latest you've ever been.
I'm so sorry I'm late.
You are not. You're with the boss. Bruce, how are you, mate?
This is Gerald.
Ron here.
Well, Bob Tizzard, we've met a few times before, I think, mate.
How are you?
I'm good, Bruce. How are you? Sit yourself down. And, Michael, you want to sit down next to Bruce? Get yourself comfortable there as well.
All right, I'm very sorry I'm so late.
Maybe you'd like to explain what's going on.
We don't often have the boss out here, and he did say that extraordinary thing about us last week, wouldn't it? We're all typical of someone typical.
Well, yeah, we know what the media are like,
don't
we?
And
I also read the clarification, shall we say, in the
Saturday Star.
So Bruce, how does it feel to have the papers make statements of yours so sensational for a start? I mean, that must be a real drag.
Well, firstly, can I say this? I read the paper on Friday, the Northern Star, and upon reading it, I rang them and wanted it clarified in the next edition. They were kind enough to do that. I understand the community got the dirt.
It did.
Right?
It did. Pretty broad spectrum dirt, I'd have to say there, Bruce. Yeah.
And having said that, I fully understand that. From Bluey Lines' perspective, and in my role as a police commander, in relation to Nimbin, I want one thing. First and foremost is I want it to be safe. I don't think I would have any argument from anybody in Nimbin about that.
No, I don't think you would either, Bruce.
Okay.
At all.
What is happening at present, and I'll be up front, I call a spade a spade. Nimbin, over many years, has been kicked in the guts, turned upside down, by police. In terms of drug enforcement, Nimbin has a problem with drug dealing and has had that for many years. In previous years, go back 20 years or more, 30 years, Nimbin was regarded as a community for utopia, for living out the dream. Nimbin still wants that to happen.
I believe you're right there too.
As the drug culture has changed, Nimbin has seen a transformation from cannabis, went through heroin, and when there was a heroin epidemic right across Australia, not just what happened at Nimbin, Nimbin did then and to an extent still has an issue with health problems as a consequence of heroin use.
So has heroin use gone up across Australia, Louis, as you're saying, in this epidemic? Has it eased off, or is there still a glut and a huge supply of
well,
stuff coming
in? Quite clearly, there's a heroin problem right across Australia. Because
absolutely.
It has got worse just recently, has it not, over the last 6 months, say?
There's been an issue with people overdosing more. So depends how you look at it.
Probably better quality.
And then after the heroin situation, the amphetamines become more popular, and the mixture of amphetamines and alcohol is a mixture for violence.
So it appears.
And Nimbin is experiencing an upsurge it's unsafe for some people in the community. They have a fear in the community there that it's not safe, and I agree with them.
So how do you see the police's role in making the town safer?
Are we getting 10?
Are we getting 10? our local, the MP for Lismore, as any of you who have read the newspaper would know, Thomas George has put in a cry, a plea to the Carl Scully, the police minister, for an extra 6, I believe, permanent officers stationed at Nimbin. Is this correct, Louis?
It is. I actually think he's put in for more than that, but...
Because we had 30 here once, on one day. It was a riot.
Yes, no. Right. So how many police do we currently have stationed in the Nimbin?
You have
Nimbin
4
station.
Permanent police officers.
Okay.
In my view, that's not enough. Why? Why isn't it enough? Do we need more police to turn Nimbin upside down? No. We need more police to have an overt, in other words, police in uniform presence in the township of Nimbin to do several things. One is to improve the trust levels between the community and police. Two is for the police, the local police who are stationed in Nimbin, to become part of the community, to become known to members of the community, to be able to walk along the street, sit down, have a cup of coffee in a coffee shop, have no fear of doing that, and to be able to communicate with the community. That's important.
Okay.
Third, they need to drive out drug dealing.
This is the police we're talking about, yes?
Yes. The police need to drive out drug dealing from the town.
Okay.
They need to become involved with the community. When I say that, they need to become involved with being in a positive approach to dealing with the youth problems in the town, with mental health issues and any other issue where that is assisting presently in Nimbin, having, you know, that's problems. So they need to be part of all the problem, more all of the solutions.
The solutions, yes. If we can just have a quick focus on that youth thing, because I believe it was a reasonably young offender that was a catalyst for the newspaper articles, the young fellow in the car. I've heard on the grapevine, and this is purely all scuttlebutt and speculation, I don't even know if you've caught the young guy yet, have you? The fellow that clocked the officer and ran?
A person has been arrested.
Okay. From what I've heard, he was absolutely total on alcohol, and I don't know if there were other drugs involved, but being young, it's quite possible there were.
Well, can I say, the fact there that it's now in the going to court, one of you, I can't talk about
fair
that.
Fair enough. Okay. But as we were saying, that there are a continuing shift in what appears to be the drugs in fashion, perhaps we should say, on the streets. Is this how we're going? It was heroin, and now we've moved into various amphetamines and their derivatives combined with alcohol, which seems like ice, I think, is one of those derivatives, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Stuff like that. This seems to be a bit of a global problem, isn't it, Bluey, in terms of the general youth of the world have upped the voltage of their recreational drugs, or so it appears to my getting older perspective. Is this how you see it in the police force?
It's one thing's for sure, it's not unique to Nimbin.
No, this is what I'm saying. You hear stories of the almost anarchy on some of the streets of America in terms of the drug trade.
And you don't want that to happen in Nimbin. Absolutely. I don't want it to happen in Nimbin. The general community doesn't want it to happen in Nimbin. The police need to be a solution to that. And it is not just about drug enforcement. It is no sexy, fancy strategy from a policing point of view, as far as I'm concerned, to make a real difference to the streets of Nimbin. It is purely and simply an overt presence of police officers forming a relationship with the community, having a good relationship with the community, and getting their trust.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, 100%.
You've got to have the communal trust.
You have to have the trust, otherwise you're not going to get anywhere. Everyone's going to be against you from the ground up.
But as you say, four cops on the streets in Nimbin means that it's an eight-hour shift.
Four police can't sustain that. They go on holidays, they get sick, they've got to go to court, they've got to go do training, and they have an area, you know, of a very large area. When they get a job, you know, they might be out of the area for some hours before they can get back.
Turnover of people through the area.
So how many police would you need stationed here to maintain a bit of a consistent...
Are we talking a 24-hour-a-day presence at the police station? No, we're not. We're still talking what... Is it one shift a day or two shifts a day?
We're talking about improving the presence, improving the ability for the community to have police when they want them, the ability to have police when police are needed in the town. I would want more police here. It's hard for me to, as a police commander, to publicly, you know, give a number. But Thomas George has told the police ministry wants to have an extra 8 police officers. That would give Nimbin 12 police officers.
Okay.
I'm of this view. If we had police 12 police officers in this town, that would be great. Now, for what I've just spoken about before. But it may be there that we may need them for 2 years. If the safety levels of the trust and everything I've spoken about improved, it may be then that they may only need 6 police here.
Does the police service have the sort of manning levels where you can actually afford to put 12 police into a small village comparatively in terms of population as Nimbin? Surely there are other villages of a bit larger size that have less police than that. That would be...
That's right.
A little put out. I mean, Alstonville, for example, I don't know how many police there are stationed in Alstonville, but they seem to be having a bit of a trot of crime-related things up there too.
And there are calls to have a police station at at Austinville, extra police in the police station at Austinville. And of course, that is that call for more police is widespread right across New South Wales.
Well, especially in a high growth area, and this is, the North Coast of New South Wales is very high growth.
That's right. And, you know, as a police commander, I'm involved in making sure our voice is heard at the executive, the police, of the police force, and at government level.
So what level is the station strength chosen at, Louis? Like, who makes that final decision as to how many officers they will assign to Nimbin? Right. Is it at your level? Does it go up to Carl Scully's level? Or is there a level in between?
Quite clearly, you know, if you have extra police, additional police coming into the police force, it's a government decision.
Okay.
Where they go is advice between the police executive, police commissioner and government.
Okay. And if it's just transferring police from other spots, which is always a very unpleasant choice, I'm sure, especially for the other people who lose them, is that the same thing? Is that go right to that, right to the top like that, or does that come down more to divisional levels and what's it, what have you?
That comes down to where I see it. However, you then, as you know, you have the competing priorities of other areas, you know.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you, they'd jump up and down if I took police from Kyogle or Casino and stationed them at Nimbin.
But is it possible that this is a sort of solution that's going to be handed down to you from Carl and his friends saying, Bluey, we've got no more men for you, you're going to have to start, but we'd like to see Nimbin more staffed. You've got to find the extra guys in the northern region somewhere and pop them over there. I mean, well, where do you stand then?
I know Cal Scully.
Yeah.
He's a bloke, I think, that listens. And there's been no announcement made, and I am not preempting anything whatsoever, but I would be confident there that we'd have some success.
Okay. Fantastic.
I understand that there's not much in American police. Is that a reason as well? Do you think, like, should I understand, like, only one-third of the force has been there longer than 7 years or something?
There has in the last 10 years been a high turnover of police. In country areas you will find that the experience levels of police is much higher than in the metropolitan area. Much higher.
Okay. Have they come to any reasons why the turnover of police just over the last 10 years, as you say, for example, has been high? Have they pinned down the reasons for this higher than normal? Or maybe it is the new norm. Who can say? Maybe everyone changes professions more regularly. I mean, is this going to be a problem when it comes to hierarchy and police moving on and up and filling the up positions as people like you move on and retire?
Policing in past times, people joined the police as a career. Today we have many people join the police force not as a career till they retire, but as part of a career in their life. And they may be in the police force for 5, 6, 7 years, and they'll then go and say, OK, I want to be a teacher, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. We have a lot of police that come through the police ranks and end up as lawyers.
OK.
Has it got more dangerous, policing, in the last 10 years, do you reckon?
Yes.
Hmm.
It seems to be, I mean, maybe it's once again just my perception, and also what's reported in the press too, and they do like to report the more sensational sort of stuff, but it appears to me the use of weapons is on a continual rise in terms of crimes. There was a time when to hear of the use of particularly guns, in your general, average, everyday crime, you know, knocking off a shop, knocking off a servo, whatever it was, it just seems to be going up. The number of random knifings...
There's more fear.
I'm sure that there's more fear and more desperateness
on the planet.
Do we have figures that show that there are increases in things like, you know, the use of knives in just general assaults as opposed to how it used to be?
Yeah, there is. And not just in this area. The Richmond Police Command, which essentially, this is my command, goes from about just north of McLean up towards Byron Bay and west to beyond Woodenbong and Irvinville. It is a very busy police command.
I'm sure it must be. It's got quite a high Indigenous content, I would think, your command too, hasn't it? Just to throw that in. I mean, not to leave it on that particular subject, but when I think about that piece of geography, there's a radical little beat
in a way.
It is.
Can I toss in two areas that are new? I'm just interested if you've got a comment on. One is the new proposed laws on indoor hydroponic pot, where you know, I think it's coming from John Howard a bit, the mental health problems. They're trying to target indoor cannabis and
mental health
and speed, I think, ice as creating more mental health problems.
Yep.
Do you, I mean, it might be hard for you to comment. Do you think they're on the right track?
Are you saying to me, is a greater penalty or deterrent? Mm-hmm. Will it improve the situation?
Will we get less mental health cases?
Well, I'd like to think that would be the case. That yeah. I would like to think that the a drug enforcement strategy across Australia through police forces, that the best outcome of that was not measured by how many people get arrested and charged and thrown in jail, but would be measured by how many people don't end up on a slab, how many people don't end up having a broken family as a consequence of a drug culture, how many people don't end up in a hospital, how many people don't end up with a mental health issue.
Mm.
That's the outcome of a successful drug strategy.
Absolutely.
Not about the number of people that you arrest.
Good on
Nimbin is a classic illustration of that. There has to be a drug enforcement strategy by lines which has that enforcement component in it, no doubt about it.
Mm.
However, we've got to be smarter than that. We've got to be able to, Bluey Lines is going to be able to work with the boss of the health department, with mental health, with the education department, with docs, to prevent the end of the line where police are continuing doing the arrest and charge component of their drug strategy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good answer. The other.
I just had one brief sort of I don't know extra to add to that. Back, I was just getting back to staffing policy and so forth, and I guess policing policy in that. Now that it has been deemed by, or it's about to be deemed by law, that hydroponic cannabis is apparently 7 times stronger than outdoor-grown cannabis, poses more of a health risk, and carries a higher penalty, will the police then see it as their duty to focus more on finding indoor cannabis and perhaps having to take resources away from plantation squad searching and cutting down the looking for outdoor cannabis because this indoor cannabis now is deemed by law to be a harder and more toxic drug for our youth and their sanity?
I think there will be a more focused approach on from an intelligence point of view and, yes, from an enforcement point of view to those people that hydroponically cultivate cannabis for the purpose of making big quids.
Sure. Sure.
Five plants, so 10 years jail for five plants or more. It's not many plants, five plants.
Is it, anyway,
I worry that the city kids, my worry, just throwing this in, but my worry is city kids who do smoke pot, will the higher risks now, the price of hydro will go up, but they will move to other drugs less likely to get caught with. Well, and I think that's already happened a bit. Like in America, the psychosis issue is coming from ice, they reckon.
Yeah. I found it fascinating, just as an aside, I was just down in Sydney for 2 days doing some family stuff, and just outside the hotel I was staying at, the middle of the city, and I was looking pretty ordinary, you know? I was looking pretty ordinary. I can if I want to. And I was approached by a guy in the street who also looked very ordinary and asked me if I wanted to buy some cannabis at twice the price of Nimbin, of course, but he assured me that it was bush, not hydro. I mean, this whole bush and hydro division is obviously, I mean, this is in Sydney in the middle of nowhere from a total stranger. I get offered $20 a gram bush.
That's interesting.
Yeah, funny. As an aside.
It's extraordinary to me that the government figures 80% of people in New South Wales jails have a mental health problem.
Is that right? Is that the latest figures we've heard now, that 80% of inmates in New South Wales? Do you know if this is right, Blue?
It's a government figure.
I don't know if... it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, no, it probably wouldn't surprise me either, you know, overall.
Yeah, before he disappears, and we've got the rain happening so
it's
can't...
It's pouring down outside. That's that background noise you can hear in the microphones. It's pissing down.
The other subject that's just worrying a lot of people in this area is saliva testing, and which is imminent in New South Wales, because there are a lot of people who I would say, regularly medically use cannabis. There's no 0.05 on cannabis. It's sort of all or nothing. There's a lot of, and there's also people who eat cookies for cannabis. Old people who've rung up the hemp embassy quite a few times. Oh, are we going to register? I've been, you know, eating my cookies for my arthritis for 5 years and driving. What's going to happen now? And, I mean, I'm not sure that this is your area, but there's a lot of big question marks on that whole saliva testing thing, and we haven't even seen it yet. You got any thoughts?
Alcohol has a limit, you know,
I think that as we technically improve across a lot of areas, both in health,
yep,
both in how we run a police force, how we investigate crimes,
yeah,
that is just another example of our ability, one, to do that type of thing and to be able to identify people who are using drugs. The question is, by using that method of detection, what is the proposed outcome? I go back to what I said before. Is the outcome to improve the health of our community? Is the outcome to get more crime stats, more arrests? I would venture to say that the latter is incorrect. You see, even today, the police have the ability to prop somebody, and if they have a small quantity of cannabis, they're able to give a cannabis caution.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, there is a discretion there for police.
Certainly there is.
Not with saliva testing, apparently, or not how they're using it in Europe, anyway.
Well, they have
not how they've been using it down in Victoria.
Have they codified all the rules and the way it's going to work in New South Wales yet, Bluey, with these new saliva testings?
No, I'm not aware of that.
You guys haven't been handed down any SOPs about how you handle... I mean, how does the police union feel about handling saliva? Are they happy with that? I mean, I know that there was some...
I'm sure they won't touch it.
No, I think more to the point...
More to the point is, with
the saliva testing, what's happening in Europe, what's been happening in Germany, is that people have moved away from cannabis because it's too easy to detect. It stays in the system for far too long. And they're using other recreational drugs. They're using chemicals. And that really is what saliva testing is going to enforce. That's what it's enforcing in Germany, and we're going to be doing it the same way.
Do you think that'll be a problem or a consequence possibly of these new saliva tests, that they'll push cannabis users to try other stuff they hadn't normally tried because maybe it's not detectable?
Some of the cures I'd hope that
was not one of the consequences.
One of the things that's critical is that nowadays you can go out and party all weekend, use heroin, use eckies, use speed, use pot or whatever.
Mm.
When you have your drug test at work or driving on Monday or Tuesday, nothing will show up except cannabis because of its fat soluble, and it stays in your blood like for 2 or 3 months.
Yes.
And I think the saliva test isn't the worry. Is if your red light comes on the saliva test and then they take you around the corner to the blood test, everyone's going to go down.
Well, everyone who smokes cannabis is going to go down.
Yeah, and
there's
a lot of people who would have smoked cannabis within 2 months.
In a room with cannabis smokers, yeah, like this young boxer over in Western Australia, sitting in a car. So he says, and I tend to believe him, sitting in a car with two cousins that were blowing a joint, and he came up positive, and he got thrown out of the boxing team. Only did a blood test.
Yeah, this is that young guy that they had their second string for the Commonwealth Games because of the Australian Boxing Federation sort of looked over it because they accepted his thing, but the Commonwealth, the international Commonwealth body wasn't so lenient, and so he's not going to be boxing for Australia.
Anyway, true hippies who want to save the planet and smoke pot, they won't be able to drive cars. It'll be good for the environment.
Good for the environment, yes. Yeah, that's a very positive point.
Absolutely. I've got another positive for you.
What's that?
We want to be like Cronulla, as Thomas is saying. I thought we could ask Thomas for a beach.
Yes.
We need a beach.
No, okay.
Nice.
Can we just possibly get on quickly because we're going to be running out of time soon? Okay. But getting on to the fact that our local member for Parliament, Thomas George, did equate Nimbin to Cronulla or Macquarie Fields. I think he was drawing a little bit of a long bow there, but let's not pursue that. It appears that the government, along with the police service, feels that one of the possible answers to these youth problems in places like Cronulla, and although Cronulla not so much because they've got the beach, but in Macquarie Fields, they're spending, is it $3 million on a new youth centre?
Yeah.
And I was wondering if perhaps you, on behalf of the police service, wouldn't perhaps put in a bit of a word to your superiors and those in power that maybe a little bit of an injection of money into the already community-built skate park out here, for possibly for a structure to cover it all, make it into a youth centre with a world-class skate ramp. It would cut down the noise problem, which has been an ongoing situation for Tursa, and the guys have been building it, trying to get that noise level down so it's useful after a few complaints. Any chance of
I'll give you
that
this
kind of project?
I'll give you next week I'll be in Sydney.
Yes.
I will have an opportunity, or the week after, I'll have an opportunity of speaking to Carl Scully personally.
Okay.
And I promise you I will raise the issue with Carl Scully in relation to the skate park. I've only just recently come from there with Michael.
Okay. Great.
And Carl Scully has the ear of the Premier, obviously.
He does indeed.
And I will put it in most positive light.
Louis, you can't ask for more than that. Thank you so much.
What success I have, I can't promise you, but I will raise it with him and I will push it as best I can.
Cheers. Well, I guess we can't ask for more than that, really.
I think that's terrific. And he's just met Paddy down there and the crew working and got a feeling of the whole thing. It's like we agreed, it's a lemon we've got to turn to lemonade, man.
And just finally, I mean, from my personal interest, you're talking about the first real task of an improved number of police in the Nimbin station would be for the health and the benefit of the community to clean up and to wipe out drug sales in the town.
Correct.
Okay. So what do you rate your chances of eliminating the cannabis trade in Nimbin, Louis? Really?
A total elimination, Bob.
No more sales on the street of cannabis. I mean, it's pretty endemic everywhere as far as I can see. And I'm sure the cameras have, over the years, picked up these things. I just wonder what you think your chances really are.
Okay. An improved police presence with cops in uniform walking up and down the street more frequently won't shut down a cannabis trade, but it may make the township of Nimbin a little bit safer.
Well, that's certainly got my full support, 100%. Louis Lyons, thank you so much for coming. This has been The Hemp Show. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio.
Thank you.
It's 2:05. We'll be moving on with the Aboriginal broadcasters after this track. We'll be back to talk about that.